When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to an episode of Within the Lines, the podcast where two best friends use their patent pending movie ranking scale to determine the true quality of a film. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2024, and today we are reviewing the sequel to the movie that brought me back to the movie theaters after the COVID-19 pandemic, Godzilla X Kong, a new dynasty, a new empire,
Yeah.
Do you say the X when you say the title?
I don't know how, because I've been saying Godzilla X Kong, but is it just Godzilla Kong, the new empire? Godzilla, it's not versus Kong.
No. Kind of friends now.
Yeah, well, there's a second one. Frenemies? Yeah.
The latest of the Legendary Pictures Monsterverse franchise, and, you know, I'm sure this won't be the last of the Godzilla King Kong crossover movies, Ty. So, this is the second one we've done on the podcast directly. It's crazy to think, you know, that was 3 years ago, almost to the day Godzilla Kong and Godzilla versus Kong came out together. So I'm excited to talk about this film and compare it to the movie 3 years ago that, according to my scale at least, was above the line, or within the lines, excuse me. So I'm excited to see where this one stacks up.
It should be fun.
And then, of course, because Godzilla and Kong are such a dynamic pairing, we decided to do a draft. We are going to draft our top five best pairings. Open for interpretation, giving Tyler plenty of chances to be creative, and I'm wondering if you're going to have the same fifth overall selection as you had last week for the bouncer draft.
We'll have to wait and see.
I'm excited. Let's get into the show.
60% of the time, it works every time.
John Stamos.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
I don't feel so good.
Smash!
I'm not fucking leaving!
When a signal is sent from Hollow Earth, the humans on the surface go down to investigate, while King Kong finds more of his kind and Godzilla powers up for one of his toughest foes to date.
I didn't really know how to go with this. There were so many different plot points.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
So it's kind of all over the place on the synopsis, but I feel like that makes for a good explanation of what this movie is.
Yeah, I think you did a good job, Ty. You know, you've been writing these for a while now. You don't read other people's synopsises, and I think that was a good one.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Godzilla Kong, the new empire, currently rocking with a 53% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. Not to be totally surprising. I mean, these movies never really, unless you're Godzilla Minus One, which felt like abnormally? However you say that word, I'm pretty tired. these movies don't usually get the best critic scores.
I didn't know what you were trying to say.
Yeah. I think I was trying to say abnormality. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But anomaly works too. But it does have a 92% audience score. So the audience is coming out. It's liking it. As of the time of recording this, it's already made $214 million in the box office on a $135 million budget. So it'll probably make some money. Obviously, there's marketing and all that fun stuff. But it's still got some more time to make money. And look, the movie theater was buzzing by my apartment. Like, it was pretty full some of these days. Easter Sunday was pretty packed.
Yeah.
I went on a Discount Tuesday. Busier than any Discount Tuesday I've probably seen this whole year, as in 2024. So this movie's bringing people out. And, you know, everyone likes to see a little bit of Godzilla, a little bit of King Kong.
Yeah. I mean, these movies are doing great, which is why they'll continue to make them for the rest of eternity. They're fun. And while Godzilla kind of figured out a formula, I feel like there's still too many fucking people in these movies. Give me a silent film, which is gorilla grunts, Godzilla roars. That's all I need.
Well, we could touch on that a little bit when we get to plot to that story and the characters. Because I could go both ways on your point. The point I wanted to make, which is now escaping me, Tyler.
I'm so sorry.
The budget, $135 million. A lot of CGI in this, a lot of visual effects, obviously. I mean, it's a movie about a giant ape and a giant lizard monster.
Yeah.
How is this movie only cost $135 million and like Killers of the Flower Moon cost over $200 million? Can you explain that to me, my bird brain?
I will. I'll just reference back to our award show for the previous year. Money laundering.
Okay.
Money laundering is what happens.
Do we think we got some like overwork, underpaid visual effect artist things going on here?
Maybe. Or, you know, they just don't get really, really popular actors in these movies. And then their other two main stars are CGI'd creatures.
Fair.
So they have no, you know, acting. What is it? Casting cost?
Yeah.
Less of a contract to pay people.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited. Like, I wonder what else they're going to do. This can't be the last one, right? I mean, they've done the shows. They've done Legacy of Monsters. They've done the Skull Island show. They've obviously done Kong and his different movies and whatnot. And if this one makes money, they got to make more. But the question is, where do they go from here?
Because
I don't really know where you go from here unless you like put them on a different planet and make them fight in space or something.
I mean, they did. So in the last one, I think we were introduced to Hollow Earth.
Maybe, yeah.
I think if I remember correctly from Godzilla versus Kong.
It was in there. I don't know if that was the first.
I think that's when we got introduced to it. And it was like their first time down in Hollow Earth. In this one, they just found another part of Hollow Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's like Inception. We just keep getting different layers to Hollow Earth.
How much space is there in the center of the Earth?
Apparently a lot.
It seems like the center of the Earth seems bigger than anything else on Earth.
It's a vast landscape with lots of monsters.
Freaking massive, man. And I don't know. I guess we can, before actually we jump into the Pat and Penny movie ranking scale tie, I mentioned how Civic Plaza was popping on a discount Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I had a bad movie theater experience. Bought my tickets pretty early in the day. We're the first two people to buy the tickets. So I, you know, literally no one else in the theater had bought them yet. We get there pretty late, like literally, not late into the movie, but literally Civic Plaza was doing its like little countdown right before the movie starts. Kind of perfect timing, actually, yeah. If you're being honest.
That sounds like you nailed it.
Got in there, and there was three individuals sitting right next to our two seats. And most people might have just like scooted down one and been like, oh, I'll just sit here and leave a gap in between. I said, no. I said, I'm going to pay for the seat. I'm going to sit in the seat I paid for. And if they're uncomfortable, I'm right next to them. Oh, well, that's on them. And I wish I wouldn't have done that because this gentleman next to me, literally on his phone the entire movie texting, like the entire movie. And it was just another time I wish I was with you.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could have elbowed you and been like, Tyler, can you handle this for me?
Yeah.
Like the little beta I am. Because yeah. I couldn't say anything about it. I just kept passive aggressively like sighing and shaking my head hoping he would notice. And he never noticed because he was texting the entire movie.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah. I mean, he was trying to hide it, but it wasn't working. And then, I don't know, they got up like 20 minutes left of the movie. So there was three of them, but it was like him and the person sitting in the middle got up, left the theater, left the person that was there, the third person that was all the way against the wall. They come back in. They sit in the empty seats in our aisle like before it got to us. They sat there for like, I don't know, a minute, got up and left again, came back again like another minute later, sat down again, and then they stuck it out the rest of the movie. But then at the very end when stuff was getting quiet and stuff and it was just kind of like, you know, wrapping up the film, you could hear his TikTok. You know, he was watching TikTok. So why even go to a movie? I don't understand. Like if you're just going to go and sit there and text and watch TikTok at the end, like why are you even going? If this was an older gentleman and he was going with like his wife and his daughter, mm-hmm. just let them have a girls' night if they want to go see it.
Stay home. Don't waste the money on the ticket.
Or if you want to see it, then fucking put your phone away. Wait for it to go on streaming if you can't stay off your phone. This pandemic, man, I think the worst thing that came out of it was just people losing their movie theater etiquette.
Mm.
It's every week now I'm talking about this, and it's just, I'm sick of it. I'm going to take a stand.
Yeah.
I wish I had the gusto to say something, and this was another example of my movie theater button idea where I could snitch on someone without confronting them because I'm a coward.
It's a great idea.
I know.
It really is. I don't know who owns the local movie theater.
Cinema West, whoever that is.
But like, do you think it's like a franchisee, like someone owns it?
No idea.
Because we should get in contact with them.
I should. Patent the freaking technology.
If they were to do that, I would give up my movie club.
Wow.
Membership.
You would.
I would. I would. Just for the fact that I could snitch on people and not have to deal with yelling at people.
I like that, Ty.
Or, you know, not even yelling, but just a polite, hey, pal.
Cinema West is just listed as one of these theaters.
Hmm.
In America. It doesn't say it's like a has a parent company or anything. I'm trying to see how many screens they have. I can't find it. Not a lot.
Okay.
I know they don't have much. It's mostly just like random towns in California. So
maybe yeah. maybe next time we're there. I don't ever go there.
18.
Maybe next time you're there, you just like, can I talk to the manager? And then you talk to the manager. I'm like, can I talk to your boss? And they think it's for something like, oh, we fucked up. But in reality, it's just a great pitch.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cinema West, only 18 theaters, not owned by anyone. It's only in California and Idaho. I do see another one near this called Studio Movie Grill. That's where I saw Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse or whatever the last one was called. One of those situations where you order food and whatnot. I don't know. Didn't really dig it that much. I think I talked about
ordering
this.
Food?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a good system, but people were like, just they were moving up and down the whole movie. And I was just like,
it's too much movement.
This is hard to focus.
Yeah. You're there to enjoy a movie. Get your snacks beforehand.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Jump into the scale, Ty. Plot / story. You touched on it. I'll start us off. This movie comes up with so many different ways to make shit up to have a Godzilla and King Kong storyline.
Okay.
Like, it just felt to me like they were writing this movie as they were going along.
They were.
They're like, all right, so the girl, she gets a message from the Hollow Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into Hollow Earth. And then we found out it's her tribe. And then she's the hero. And it's Mothra.
Mm-hmm.
Which, what the fuck is Mothra doing in this movie? There was literally no need for Mothra to be in this film other than fan service.
I think she shows up to unite the two monsters. Maybe she's like the mediator. Like the two enemies, but they got someone in common.
I thought Godzilla fought Mothra in one of the movies.
I don't know. I didn't watch those movies.
This is why we should have had Ben on.
I'm sure he's very pissed off right now.
So there was that, and then there was the whole King Kong side quest and his little thing going on. Didn't really mind it. He's just trying to find more of his people. You kind of got just like a... I know you haven't watched him yet, but it was a little Planet of the Apes-y where, like, you know, King Kong is, for some reason, a little bit more... passionate, or not compassionate, I guess is the word. I don't know. Like he won't kill all the, you know, the monkeys and everything and all that stuff. And then you have the dick ruler and everything, and they're clashing and everything. So then you get the bad King Kong. And then you have Godzilla, who doesn't need to be in this film. This is a King Kong movie with like a Godzilla like appearance at the end. Like the whole bullshit of him, like just, or her, I don't know what Godzilla is, it just going around the planet. And then you have it fight that little, like, eel creature.
Yeah.
And then it's just powering up and powering up and powering up.
Turns pink.
But, like, why? Like,
did woke Hollywood make Godzilla pink?
There was no reason for it to do all the powering up because it wouldn't have even known if anything was going on if it wasn't for King Kong coming back up to the surface and telling him, hey, bro.
Well, I think come on down. I think he sensed the signals.
Come on down. There was no, like, you could have just, like, had it been Godzilla. Like, I don't know. I just felt like Godzilla was pointless. They didn't know what to do with him in this film because it was like a King Kong adventure / human journey to the center of the earth type movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, well, we got to give Godzilla something to do. So we're just going to say he's powering up the whole time.
Yeah.
It's powering up the whole time. So
I would have liked to have seen more of the fights with Godzilla. I wish he didn't win all those so quickly.
That's the problem with Godzilla.
Yeah.
It's like the Superman effect.
It really is like, let's just do a fight before he breathes on them.
Yeah.
And then we're done.
Yeah. All that being said, I mean, it's kind of what you expect out of a movie like this. They tried, I guess. I don't know. Like, I gave it a 7.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I also have it at a 7 out of 20. Mm. It very much was they were kind of making it up as it goes, but, like, I don't know, it kind of makes sense. You don't need much of a story for this.
Yeah.
Like, all the pieces were there. Only thing I would have got rid of is the people. Said this once, I've said it a million times.
I disagree with you a little bit there.
Because Godzilla Minus One?
A little bit.
Because of that movie?
Yeah.
That's a different movie. That's not this movie.
Well, we can get to there when we get to characters, but...
I think there's a fork in the road. You either make a Godzilla Minus One movie, or you make this kind of movie. Mm-hmm. In which case, this road down here, no people are needed down this road.
Okay.
They just muddy it up. And did they give you a whole bunch of bullshit?
Yeah.
One thing I will say, I would have been more okay with the people had they have fully committed to the Winter Soldier King Kong.
Mm.
Because his arm's all fucked up. I was like, are they going to chop his fucking arm off and give him a Winter Soldier arm? Because that would have been so fucking cool. But instead, they just had a handy dandy fucking boxing glove lying around.
Got a little bit of an Infinity Gauntlet on.
You know.
I was waiting for that the whole time because the preview show King Kong with his freaking Infinity Gauntlet on. And I was like, when is this going to happen? Yeah. And it took way too long, personally.
I didn't know that. But then as soon as I click on like the Rotten Tomatoes page, mm-hmm. it's the first picture. It's Godzilla screaming in the back and King Kong with his fists in the air.
Yeah.
And he's wearing the glove sleeve thing.
Yeah.
However, in this picture, he doesn't have the black front tooth that they replace. So,
oh.
What are we doing here?
Good call, Ty. That's another thing. What was the point of that? There was literally no point for that, the waste of 10 minutes of King Kong having a toothache.
Yeah.
That literally was so inconsequential because even without King Kong, they would have went to Hollow Earth
mm-hmm.
for to find these signals. They didn't need King Kong to come up yeah. to go down there. So inconsequential. I don't yeah. even know why they did it.
It maybe the only thing I can think of is an introduction to the vet person who then gives him his arm.
Yeah, I guess.
His glove.
Still felt pointless.
It was. It was pointless.
I mean.
Also, so he can get side-eyed, like, look at you with your fake fucking tooth later on in the movie.
Yeah, but he didn't even, like, use the tooth.
No.
I mean, the other
did
monkey.
Did he have a toothache to finish the last movie?
I don't remember.
This is something that they're like, fuck, guys, we need to address this.
They couldn't just ignore it.
Yeah. Like, the fans want to know what happens to his tooth.
I mean, the other monkey got his tooth knocked out, so I guess that was a little bit of it being addressed. But I thought, like, when they did that, I was like, oh, he's going to, like, bite through something using the tooth, and that's mm-hmm. going to be how he wins a fight.
Yeah.
No, not really.
It just doesn't hurt anymore. Everyone gets toothaches, Jay. I think that was the moral of the story. Even Godzilla has to go to the dentist every once in a while. King Kong.
Yeah.
Has to go to the dentist every once in a while.
Unbelievable.
That was paid for by big dentist.
Big pharma? Big dentist pharma? Yeah,
big,
whatever.
Big dentist. Also, completely unrelated note, but while we're here, how about the little Volkswagen commercial right in the center? When the mom picks up her daughter and the car is like staged in a grass field at a fucking...
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Oh,
honestly.
My God. It was hilarious. It was the ending scene of a Volkswagen commercial. The only thing it was missing was 0% APR for 60 months or whatever. It was hilarious. Like, they're getting in their car. She's not in a parking lot. She's in the middle of a grass field for no reason. The car's perfectly staged. And I was like, Volkswagen paid a lot of fucking money for that ad.
Like the Chevy in Barbie?
Yes. Yeah, very much so.
I didn't even notice that. With these movies, like, they literally were just making shit up as they went along. And, like, a lot of the stuff, exposition dumps, like, none of it makes sense.
Mm-mm.
Like, while I was, while watching this, and I took Gavin with me. He really liked this movie, by the way. I was just thinking, like, this sounds like when I was a kid and I would, like, play wrestle with myself or, like, play adventure. Or, like, I was playing with my action figures. And I'd be like, oh, Spider-Man uses his ultra web protector, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? You're making
yeah.
stuff up as a kid.
Yeah.
And then you're just coming up with these bogus words, like playing with your action figures. That's how this movie felt. It's like they would come up with a reason to explain stuff. And like, she's reading the hieroglyphics and she's like, and then this happened. And yeah. like, it just, I was like, what is this? What yeah. are we doing?
It's fucking great.
Like making this complex, like sci-fi, like hard to follow. Like, I don't understand. There's like so many rules in this universe that I don't even understand anymore.
They don't know. That's where you're wrong. There's no rules. They just make the rules as they go.
Just, I don't know, man. It was crazy. But I mean, it's what I expect out of Godzilla X Kong.
Yeah, I think that plays perfectly into our next category.
Yeah, key
here.
Elements, Ty. How you feeling?
So look, making things up as you go, complete nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what these movies are. That's exactly, like, any sort of bullshit excuse to get, you know, in the last movie, King Kong gets a fucking battle axe.
Yeah.
He gets yeah. a power-up
Still
glove.
Has it in this movie.
Still has it in this movie. Any reason to just create more bullshit and big monsters fighting, I'm going to love every second of it. It's fantastic. I went back. I gave King Kong or Godzilla versus Kong a 19 in mm-hmm. this category.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a 19 again.
Ooh.
This is big monsters just punching the shit out of each other for most of the movie. Get King Kong on his little side quest, and then he's just punching the shit out of more things. Godzilla just running around, briefly killing things, until we get a cool final scene of just big monsters killing things.
Mm-hmm.
That's what these movies need to be. And I want to leave room for improvement, so I'm at a 19 again. I think the best is yet to come here.
Funny enough, I actually gave Godzilla versus Kong a 16, because I'm sure I wish that there was more fighting involved.
Yeah.
And once again, I have a similar sentiment in this film where I kind of wish there was more fighting. But there was more fighting in this one than the last one. So there was an improvement.
Yep.
You got some Godzilla hand-to-hand combat. You got some King Kong hand-to-hand combat. You got some Godzilla stuff at the end. Still wish there was a little bit more. It's called Godzilla X Kong. Don't get a lot of Zilla. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I gave it a 17, 1 point higher. And something that I think it's cool seeing giant monsters fight. But
I'm glad we can agree on that.
Seeing them fight in Hollow Earth. Not sure how I feel about it, because then they just look like regular-sized monkeys.
Yeah.
It kind of like, takes away from
There's a couple of shots where it shows, like, regular-sized trees on the floor, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they're fucking huge.
Yeah, you kind of lose that in this. He fights that giant eel, and I'm just like, it just felt like a monkey fighting an eel. I didn't, like, you know. And then they get back to Sao Paulo or wherever it was in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, and you're like, oh, wow, these guys are huge. Yeah. Or when they're fighting on the pyramids. It's like, wow, these guys are huge. But
we're leaning up on the pyramid, taking up the whole fucking thing.
In Hollow Earth, just kind of looked like regular-sized monkeys, I'll be honest.
That's a great point. That is something that's lost here. I did see something about how King Kong's little monkey companion, he is the size of Kong in the Kong Skull Island movie.
Oh, so King Kong keeps getting bigger?
He's gotten substantially bigger.
Wow.
He's the size of King Kong in the first movie where King Kong's giant.
Mm.
I don't know why this monkey looks like a baby, but King Kong looked like an adult in the first movie.
Puberty happens at different times for everyone, Ty.
I guess so. But it like but happened and then he kept growing.
If he's the size of King Kong in the first King Kong and he still looks like a baby, imagine how big he can get when he's an adult.
That'd be sick. That'd be super
sick. Even bigger King Kong.
One of my other complaints that I had, why do we put the monkey who like kind of understands people and like could very well thrive in a jungle with like smaller monkeys or something? Why do we shove him in Hollow Earth, but leave the lizard who literally makes a living on destroying cities up top?
Because I don't think they have a choice.
It felt like they had a choice where they were sending Kong. Like, Kong came up, and they're like, all right, Kong, time to go back. And he's like, all right, thank you.
Kong listens to him. I don't think they could do that with Godzilla.
You don't think they could have lured Godzilla back into Hollow Earth? Is he from Hollow Earth?
No, I don't think
so. Neither of them are.
No.
I just thought, like, look, if we're splitting them up, if we're keeping them separate, maybe switch locations.
Godzilla just lives in the ocean most of the time, but now he's taking the Colosseum as his little dog bed. Yeah. So
he's just laying up on that like it's nothing. Every time he gets up, millions of dollars in property damage.
I was randomly thinking about that when Godzilla was just like walking through one of the canals and smashing all these bridges and you saw all the cars flying everywhere. I'm like, there's so much death in these movies, like so much unimplied death or implied death.
Yeah.
Like, just way more than any superhero movie,
besides,
like, Infinity War, because obviously, but, like, it's crazy.
I don't even know if it's more than Infinity War at this point.
What do you mean? You think this might be more?
I think they may kill more than half the population every time they fucking fuck around.
I think most people in Brazil that died because of this fight.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I did like about this movie, and we'll talk about it later. I love a good podcaster representation.
Yep. I think you said that about the last
I know
Godzilla
I did.
Vs. Kong.
I know I did, and I'm glad they brought him back. Podcasters don't get enough love in movies these days. He did have a quick little snippet about like monster insurance for damages done.
Yeah.
What do you think your like monthly thing is for that?
How much you get paid?
How much do you pay? What's your monthly premium for monster insurance?
Oh,
because, I mean, if you live in a city where Godzilla or something, like, frequents, you're going to be taking out claims left and right.
Bro, I don't know. That's a good question.
They've got to, I mean, it has to destroy the economy in this world.
How come in these Godzilla worlds, like, they should make it a plot point where everyone who lives in a coastal city, like, moves inland? Yeah. Like, why are people still living in San Francisco? Yeah.
You're a fucking idiot.
I'd live in Kansas.
Yeah.
I'd be like, if Godzilla's getting to me, he's crossing the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not
giving him the option of fucking up my home.
Because we found out Godzilla, he's not going to kill people for no reason.
No.
But he's going to accidentally kill a lot of people.
Yeah.
Just taking a stroll. Yeah, so I'm going to take myself out of harm's way.
Like if he's sleeping in the Colosseum, has to wake up in the middle of the night to take a piss.
Yeah.
1.5 mil, dead.
Yeah.
National tragedy.
Yeah. So I'm living in Kansas. Yeah. I'm not living. Even where we live, I think is too close.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Like, if you...
this is, what is it? Just like a hop, skip, and a jump for
yeah,
Godzilla?
We're like 70 miles from the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, we're fucked right here.
If he does one... His supersonic beam could probably reach us. I don't know what the length on that thing is, but I can get my head cut off on accident.
Yeah.
So they should make that a plot point in these movies.
They should.
Legendary. Take notes. your next movie, everyone should live in Kansas.
That's a whole thing. Center of the country just becomes so populated
because
the coastal regions become overrun. And then you can have like jungle cities growing back.
Mm-hmm.
Kong and Godzilla fighting in a jungle city. That's both. That's a home field advantage for both of them. Makes for such a better movie.
Visual cinematography, Ty. It's always hard to judge these like big CGI fest movies. Obviously, the only thing we really have to go on is how good the CGI looked or didn't look. And, you know, I said I wanted to see this movie in IMAX. I obviously didn't go see this in IMAX. I almost wish I did because of the cell phone guy. But then again, people record whole movies on their cell phones in IMAX.
They do. They very much do.
The extra money doesn't even make a difference. But I thought, like, I lose a little bit of luster when they're not fighting in the city. I just do. The Hollow Earth, I thought everything looked fine. It looked, you know, like, as real as all that CGI can look. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I really thought I was in the center of the earth. But, like, I don't think there was any glaring, terrible CGI. You know, I thought the action scenes were good enough. But I miss out seeing how big these creatures compare to everything else. And, you know, that kind of hurts it a little bit for me. So the last one I gave a 19. Granted, first movie coming back in theaters. So that big obviously screen. Got a bump. And this one, you know, I've been back in the movies for 3 years now. So give it a 15 out of 20.
Okay. Yeah, I'm right there with you still. I think, but one thing I do want to note, like King Kong looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Great character design. A lot of time spent. Godzilla, don't really get enough of him, but still kind of looks good in the moments that he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Other monsters look cool. Setting would have liked more city action. I can't disagree more.
Yeah.
So I'm 1 point higher than you. I'm at a 16. I think, look, a lot of this shit looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen some terrible, terrible CGI here recently in films and TV shows with very high budgets. So it's easy to fuck this up.
Bro, this is more, I think, an age thing, but when you watch the Planet of the Apes movies for when that movie comes out in like a month, so you better get on that.
Yeah.
The first one's pretty bad. Like the CGI on the monkeys, I mean, I think it's just a product of it being, you know, 10 years old now or whatever, but like...
My barrier of entry for these at all points now is, did it come out before or after Davy Jones and Pirates of the Caribbean?
After.
So, yeah, there's no excuse.
Granted, I watched it on the bad CGI TV. So that might have...
That hurts it.
That might have hurt it, but I'm trying to see, what is it? Rise of the Planet of the Apes, 2011. So, not great. It gets better in the second one. Still haven't seen the third one. Have almost got the ending to it spoiled like six different times. Heard the third one's the best of the trio. So still need to watch that before next year. But when you compare what those monkeys looked like to...
You said it was Rise?
Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Yeah, that's the first one. When you compare those monkeys to how King Kong looked, it's night and day.
Yeah, I mean, he looks... Oh, yeah, I'm looking at some stills here.
Yeah, it's like not that good.
Yeah, it's, you know, fine at best, but Godzilla looks so fucking good in this.
Mm-hmm.
He's just the most intimidating... I know Godzilla's stronger. I can accept that. But goddamn it if I don't always root for King Kong.
Yeah, I'm a King Kong guy. I think it's an America thing.
It's got to be. It really has to be.
Well, King Kong's our guy. And Godzilla's Toho, you know.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. Americans love King Kong.
You know what I wish his little glove would have done? Turned into a shield so we could have got like a Captain America King Kong kind of thing. Have like a shield and a battle axe.
More ideas to the chamber.
Yeah, that would have been fucking sick.
Can we get like a movie where King Kong just kills Godzilla? Is that too much to ask for?
Yeah, I think you could do it. I think you make that shield just like bounce back his beam. That's Godzilla's only fucking thing. That's all he's got.
Toho would never allow it.
Just don't tell him.
I'm pretty sure they're
You just don't tell him you make an actual cut of the movie.
Mm.
The next movie. No, here it is. Next movie, end of the franchise. Two cuts. US version, King Kong wins. Japan version, Godzilla wins.
You joke, but I think that is something they did in the past.
Yeah?
I'm pretty sure different cuts, King Kong, Godzilla movie. I think if it's not this, it's something else, but...
Everyone's happy. Everyone gives the same score, and like all the reviews will be real vague, like, I'm so glad the good guy wins.
Let's see. I think it's... I guess it's not that one of them wins. I guess it's just there was different cuts from the 1963 one, but I don't think it's that Godzilla one and King Kong one or anything like that. I just think it was different cuts to appeal to the audiences. But
Look, I'm always going to root for the big monkey.
Yeah, it's the King Kong versus Godzilla from 1962. The U.S. version is re-edited from the Japanese original and is vastly different. I think they just added more people, sounds like. Yeah.
It's not like King Kong getting a couple extra licks in.
Yeah, the ending is the exact same. The endings are essentially the same, despite the popular but erroneous story of Godzilla winning in the Japanese version. In both versions, the fight ends with only King Kong emerging from the ocean and swimming home. The only difference is that in the U.S. version has a different soundtrack. In the Japanese version, both monsters emit roars as the film ends. In this version, only King Kong's roar can be heard on the soundtrack.
Fuck
so
yeah.
They did do it a little bit.
Fuck yeah.
They did do it a little bit.
I said, forget the fucking lizard. I love that. That's fantastic.
Oh, man. That's funny that... both rooting for King Kong.
It's just, why wouldn't you?
He's got more personality.
He does.
He's more human.
Yeah.
He settled down, have a family.
He's got emotions.
Mm-hmm.
He misses his home and his people.
Yeah.
Godzilla's just like swimming around, not a care in the world. You get no emotion out of that lizard. Do you think like the closest real life representation of this would be like an alligator versus like a silverback?
Well, a silverback would probably fuck up an alligator, I think, but...
That's all I'm saying. Just throwing it out there.
Oh, Jesus. I love you, Ty. Characters. Talk to me about how much you hated all these characters and all the people in this movie.
I hated most of the people and characters in this movie.
I know you would.
They're unnecessary. I didn't like the mom character in the last one. Didn't like her in this one.
Yeah.
Kind of like Trapper. Kind of like the vet guy. He's ridiculous, but he's fun. And, of course, Brian Tyree Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Our Lord and Savior.
Podcast representation.
Podcast representation. We need more of it in Hollywood. So I appreciate that. King Kong does have some, like, look, it's weird to say that the big dumb monkey has some, like, more emotional, like, you kind of feel for him.
Yeah.
But you kind of feel for him in this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
So while it's not a good score, it could have been a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in between two scores.
Just gotta go with your gut, Ty.
I'm at a 7 out of 20.
Okay.
I'm at a 7 out of 20.
Pretty low.
It is. I like the Trapper character a little bit. I like the little bit of emotion they give me with King Kong. Godzilla, we get nothing. All the other people, we get nothing. The little girl's fine.
Mm-hmm.
She's fine, but like, I don't know. I don't need that character. That character has the exact same story arc as King Kong. You just have to tell it in a human form.
Does it have a story arc?
Separated from their home world, looking for their people. She finds her people. He finds his people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but she chooses to stay with her fake mother.
Wow, that was really insensitive, Jay.
Well, King stays with his people.
He does stay with his people to lead them, mm-hmm. which she could have also done that, it seems like.
Isn't it funny how like they painted this picture that King Kong's been searching for his family this whole time, and in the movie itself, all he did was like randomly go down one canyon and then found him.
Yeah.
Like it happened so seamlessly.
Yeah. By accident.
Oh, and then there was all the stuff about the camouflage wall and everything. That didn't make any fucking sense. I gave it an 8. Yeah, I mean, the characters are kind of pointless. You don't really need them. The Trapper character is good enough.
King Kong could have found his people, and then instead of the girl, like, oh, we've got to like call Mothra and get Godzilla down here. King Kong could have found the other monkeys and then done the same thing and gone to the surface and be like, hey, yo, Kong. Mm-hmm. Or Zilla.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Would have been fine.
Didn't really need Mothra. Didn't really need all the human elements. But it has to... It fills time, Ty. It fills time because if you take all that stuff out, this is a 50-minute movie of just, you know...
Give me extended cuts of every fight.
Just all fighting?
Extended cuts of the fight to fill time. And then, like, the Godzilla... storyline, give me a little bit more there. King Kong.
See,
keep the adventure up.
This is where I still think you need the human element, but it's weird. You're right, because these movies are different. I mean, it's like when it was just Godzilla, the 2014 film that actually had like kind of a really good cast. You know who's in this movie?
2014 film?
Aaron Taylor Johnson, Ken Watanabe, Elizabeth Olsen, Bryan Cranston.
That's the Godzilla...
2014, yeah. Godzilla, just Godzilla.
Just Godzilla?
Yeah.
Before, like, King of the Monsters and everything?
Yeah. When you do, like, a monster movie, I think you have to have that human element, and you have to tie it into the monster. And when you do it right, it's so good. As we saw Godzilla Minus One, it's just like, that is a monster movie, seeing the monster through the lens of like a human nature. And yes, it's cool to watch him smash and everything, but when you have, when you venture into this territory of Godzilla and Kong, that's where it gets tough, because you're selling one thing, but then you're like, well, shit, we still need to tie in some human element to make people care, you know, because naturally, I know we say we just want to see the monkey and the lizard fight over and over, but like, if they did that, it wouldn't get received as well by the audience. The widespread audience needs some sort of human element to tie to, you know. I think that's, you know, they do all this testing and everything. That's why they do it. It's just,
they've never tested the other way. I know for a fact that they've never tested it. And I want nothing more than to one day finally be able to make a movie and prove you wrong. Because I don't need a human element. We can get emotion from King Kong.
Okay.
He can tell an emotional story with no words being spoken, but just feelings. And then a whole bunch of fucking destruction.
No humans at all.
I mean, you know, just as fodder. Humans will die. There'll be a lot of dead humans.
How
just
many
like
speaking lines you have?
I don't want to pay anyone to have a speaking line. I want it all ad-libbed and like background screams.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe they could give Godzilla a speech translator. I mean, they gave him an Infinity Gauntlet, and then he could just talk. And you really don't need the humans.
Yeah, that would help. You're right.
You get like Morgan Freeman to voice him.
Oh, what if? Hold on, is he dead?
Morgan Freeman?
No, not Morgan Freeman. I'm thinking of someone here. James Earl Jones. Is James Earl Jones dead?
I don't know. That's Darth Vader, right?
Yeah. Dead. 93 years old, still kicking it. Tell me King Kong wouldn't sound badass. Just Darth Vader's voice.
Yeah. I'm for it.
Or like Optimus Prime. You just give him Optimus Prime's voice.
Well, this is like a different version of the Transformers movies. Transformers really movies is. And Godzilla vs. Kong and are very much in the same breath.
Who are they made by? Are they made by the same company? Because that feels like it's long overdue.
Dude, there we go. Universal does the Transformers movies. I don't know. Legendary does the Godzilla movies. I don't know like who Legendary Pictures, if it's part of anything. I don't think it is a subsidiary of... What is it a subsidiary of? Of Wanda Group and Apollo Global Management. So no, it's not part of Universal or anything. Okay. Wanda Group is a Chinese company.
Okay.
So you could get some crossover. Dude, Transformers versus Godzilla versus Kong?
I mean, shit. In the last Transformers movies, they basically had a Transformer King Kong.
That's a good point.
Just do the real thing.
That's a good point.
Just pull the trigger. You know you'll
multiverse?
Sell
Multiverse?
You just, know you'll sell a million fucking dollars.
Do some multiverse. Put them on a different planet. Actually, no. Put them on Earth. I want to see destruction.
Mm-hmm. What city? What city should this one take place in?
I feel like we haven't got any Dubai action for King Kong and Godzilla.
In the middle of a desert. It's not by the ocean, is it? No, it's right on the ocean.
That's why the Transformers... Well, I don't know. But the Transformers may be luring them.
Oh. They can blend in as exotic cars in Dubai?
Just a bunch of different... a bunch of different landmarks. I want to see Godzilla smash King Kong. Well, I want Godzilla and King Kong to be on the same team. I want them to be the bad guys in this. I want them to win. I want them to smash their face into Mount Rushmore.
I want to see someone get thrown off Niagara Falls.
King Kong can pick up freaking the Eiffel Tower and stab it through Optimus Prime's heart.
Space needle? Feels more like stabbing.
Yeah. Just do it all.
Okay.
We haven't got a New York. Have we got a New York scene in any of these movies? I didn't see Godzilla King of Monsters.
Look, without doing the research, yes.
I don't know, because the first one's like is San Francisco, I'm pretty sure.
Without doing the research, yes.
Again, I didn't see the... There was, the Honolulu one.
King Kong's always in New York. That's always how he starts. Eiffel Tower swinging at planes.
You mean Empire State Building?
Empire State?
Well, yeah, that was the Peter Jackson one, but have they done it in this franchise is my question. Because the first Godzilla was San Francisco and Honolulu and stuff in Japan. I don't know what Godzilla King of Monsters was. I don't know if it was in New York.
Is this a continuation?
Yes.
Of the Peter Jackson one?
No, not of Peter Jackson. The first Kong movie was Kong Skull Island in this universe.
Oh, Skull Island. Okay, I forgot that.
They go to Skull Island in the Peter Jackson one, but it's a different thing. It's not...
I think it's always Skull Island. They just called this one Skull Island.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
I don't
see any New York stuff in here.
This looks like a completely different monkey.
Fenway Park. There was Fenway Park in the middle one, I guess.
Boston, okay.
I don't see New York, though. We need New York. Why has that not happened?
Brie Larson was in the King Kong movie. Kong Skull.
Yeah, that actually, that movie had like a pretty big cast, I'm pretty sure.
And Loki.
Yeah, I think Jack Black was in the original one, I think. Was Jack Black in the original one?
He was in the Peter Jackson one.
Yeah. That one's pretty good. Pretty long, but I remember liking it even as a kid, which is hard to do for a long movie like that. I think the humans are needed in some capacity, but I still don't love them. I don't know if I ever get my score. I get an 8.
Yeah, I think you did.
Daughter, get rid of her. Let King Kong just throw her.
I don't need the people.
Did you laugh at the scene where King Kong throws the rock and hits the monkey in the head when he's running away?
I did.
I audibly laughed out loud. Yeah, Gavin, I don't think I've ever seen Gavin laugh that hard in the theater.
It's fantastic. He just fucking nice little lob.
Well, they did the whole woo. Yeah. Like it was good. It was more so the pacing and like the
great visual comedy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just slapstick.
Right in the middle of after a monkey fight scene.
Who thought Kong could be so funny? I'm telling you, that man can lead a movie.
That man.
Give him the chance.
That CGI monkey can lead a movie.
He can. He really fucking can.
Enjoyment tie. I had some high highs in this, but I also had a lot of like, why are we doing this? Like, why are we doing Journey to the Center of the Earth in the middle of this movie? But the highs were fun. You ended on a fun action scene. It wasn't too long, hour 55. They could have made this 2:45 and it would have dragged. I think there was parts with the pacing and drug a little bit. Just, you know, that's kind of the nature of what they were trying to do here. But it was a fun, you know, popcorn Hollywood blockbuster, for lack of a better word. I gave it a 15 out of 20. I had fun with it. I would tune it on again. I probably wouldn't watch the whole thing again, but I would click it on, watch some fight scenes again.
Yeah.
15 out of 20.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a good watch. Paced well, like you said, not too long. I didn't really have any super big issues with the pacing. I thought it flowed pretty well.
I felt like it slowed down every time the humans were involved, but I think that was just my hatred of the humans.
Look, man, all you're doing is complaining about the humans. And you want to accept that they aren't needed in this type of movie.
Right.
That's a different type of movie. That movie wasn't a Godzilla movie. I know it's called Godzilla Minus One. It's not a Godzilla movie.
Mm. What is it?
It's a people movie.
Okay.
It's basically just a war film.
I mean, kind of. What about when they go to the outpost and there's like the sign of the blood on the wall and they're just like, oh, we better get out of here because someone killed all the humans at the outpost.
Mm-hmm.
Were we supposed to assume that was the bad monkey?
Yeah, it was a bad monkey.
But like, what? I didn't really see the point of that.
No, there's a lot of just bullshit to do bullshit.
Yeah, like.
Even like after her daughter scribbles like the fucking three towers or whatever. Yeah. And then she goes home. She's like, oh my God, this looks just like those readings. And then like, unnecessarily just has to dig through a pile of paper when it happened that day and it was like official, like we should study this, and it's all crumpled up, thrown in the trash.
Yeah,
just like, you know, doing dumb shit to doing dumb shit to make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So for that genuinely the dumb shit is gonna take me out of a movie and not make me enjoy it as much. Like, don't act like I'm stupid. I don't need this.
Okay,
with that being said, I'm really stupid and I love big monkey fighting other big monkeys and using improvised weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a 16 out of 20.
Wow, 1 point higher.
1 point higher. I had a good time with this movie. They're stupid. They're really stupid movies.
Yeah.
But they're a good time, man.
Hey, it's like Fast and Furious. Stupid movies that are a good time.
Wrong. You've never said something so wrong.
Do you like these better than Transformers movies?
Yeah, for sure.
Why is that, you think?
I don't know, man. Transformers movies are just like, it's basically just this, but with an extra sci-fi element added.
Yeah. And usually more humans. Guys.
Yeah. Now, I will say last Transformer movies did have a pretty cool, like, race scene, which, like, I like a good, like, race scene. Getaway scene. Car
on
going fast.
Yeah.
That's fun. So that's how Transformer movies can bring me back in.
All right. Open challenge of the Transformers movies.
Yeah. Just, like, give me, I would say maybe, like, 15 minutes of Transformers and the rest. Just make a racing movie.
Maybe we're talking about crossovers. It's the same company. Maybe Optimus is in a Fast and the Furious movie. That's how he defeats Jason Momoa in the next one.
Yeah.
This whole time, his challenger has been a Transformer.
Yeah.
That'd be a crazy crossover.
That'd be incredible. It'd be fucking great. And I think we're maybe a couple years away from them, like, genuinely entertaining the idea.
Well, don't forget, Fast X was the beginning of the middle of the end, or whatever the hell they said. I think they said it was the beginning of the end because they're like, it was.
Oh, beginning of the end, yeah.
Like, Levin was supposed to be the last one, but then I just make fun of it because. Yeah.
Wait, what was the last one we watched? Was it X?
10, yeah. Fast X.
And then the Dwayne Johnson spinoff or whatever is going to be Shaw. 11 or Hobbs and Shaw Part 2 or.
I think he's coming back for Fast 11 because there was the post-credit tease in Fast X.
No, but I thought we talked about this. He's definitely doing his own movie on his own.
Probably, but they might use him in Fast 11.
He comes back for the final one. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's been so good in the WWE. I saw some shit of him like fucking up Cody Rhodes.
You watching some clips?
Yeah, I've been watching some clips. It was electric.
What's your final score, Ty?
My final score. Look, man, it's right where it needs to be. I had a good time with this movie. Is it the best thing ever? No. Is it? Hold on. Let me check how we break down our scale.
Is it within the lines?
Is it within the lines? Yes. I gave it a 65 out of 100.
Oh, so you would give it a fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
I would. I absolutely would. What'd you give it, Jay?
I'm sorry to rain on the parade because our Rotten Tomatoes verdict is always based on our consensus score.
It is.
And I came in at a lower score than you. I came in at a 62 out of 100, Ty.
Damn.
Just a little short for me. Just
my 65, your 62. That gives us a combined score of 63.5 out of 100, making this the 143rd ranked film out of 221 films we have reviewed. It is with the likes of, whatever I say, 143?
Kate, which was like that Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that
whatever
movie.
Cherry, which was that. We had a big disagreement on that one.
Yes,
Babylon,
we
had a big disagreement on.
Yes, we did. Different direction.
Most importantly, it is 3 points lower than Godzilla vs. Kong. You actually gave this the exact same score as Godzilla vs. Kong. I gave it 6 points lower, and I can attribute that to the movie theater bump. Maybe I need to check my mindset. Maybe I need to like put myself back in that COVID, haven't been to the movies in a year and a half mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And really appreciate this. Maybe if I went in IMAX, I would have got a 68. I don't know, but I feel a little guilty, but I'm going to stand by my score.
No, I think this movie comes out, and it's our first movie back to theaters instead of Godzilla vs. Kong.
Mm-hmm.
You give it a 68.
Yeah.
I think you do.
Probably.
And I'm not slighting you for that. I'm not saying anything bad. That was just an electric time to be back at the theaters.
Well, and you didn't see Godzilla vs. Kong in the theaters. You saw your first movie back was Mortal Kombat, I remember.
Oh, that's right.
Because Mortal Kombat came out like a week or two later. And you watched Godzilla Kong streaming. I watched Mortal Kombat streaming, like we flipped.
Yeah.
So if anything, you're staying consistent.
I'm exact same score. These movies, this was exactly as good as the last movie.
Well, you know what's exactly in the middle of 62 and 68? 65. And that's, I think, if you just remove all other elements,
these two movies
average out to 65.
Yeah. Our consensus on the two is a fresh.
And that makes me feel great about my score.
Yeah.
Because it's like the worst type of movie you can give a fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
You're absolutely right. People are going to have fun with this movie. It deserves to be a fresh. It deserves to be within the lines. I love that Mortal Kombat and Godzilla are right next to each other with the exact same score on our scale.
Mm-hmm.
Godzilla versus Kong, that is the first one, 66.5.
Mm-hmm.
That movie's so disappointing.
But that was your first movie back?
It was my first movie back, and I'll never forget. I've already forgot it, but the... I thought I could never. I know what it is. It was the scene about like getting topped off or something. What was the ridiculous line?
I don't know. You got me in a fucking sandwich right now. Me. I'll never forget. I already forgot.
I didn't do that. Let's see here. No, what the fuck was the name of it?
I don't know, Ty.
Oh, that's gonna break my heart, dude. They have a hilarious fucking quote from that. Be like super. Oh, he's about to get his soul sucked or something.
Yeah, from that makes sense. Yeah. From whatever his name is,
it's a soul suck. It's fantastic. That's a good time at the movie theater. They're about to get their soul sucked.
Yep. Are they making another one of those?
Oh, no shot. That movie was terrible.
Well, they were teasing Johnny Cage in the last one at the end. Remember, there was like the movie poster or whatever, and because he wasn't in this one. I want to say, yeah, a sequel, it's in development. Yeah, according to Wikipedia.
Mark the third live action and Mortal Kombat 2 will serve as a direct sequel.
Cast Carl Urban as Johnny Cage.
That's a great cast.
I didn't know who he was just based off his name.
Oh, Carl Urban? He's from superhero. Thor. Gen V.
He's in Thor.
He is in Thor, but I think... Oh, The Boys. It's like one of the main guys in The Boys.
Never seen that show. Not a single minute of it.
So fucking... So good. Really enjoyable.
Better than Invincible?
No. No, I don't think so. Season finale is out right now, and I just want to... I want it on record that I am here recording the podcast instead of watching the season finale of Invincible. Mm-hmm. So credit to me.
Should I look up what happens and spoil it live on the podcast?
Fuck you up. I've been avoiding spoilers all day. Show's incredible.
Filming officially wrapped in late January 2024 for Mortal Kombat. They've already
filmed it?
Yeah.
No one's talking about that. I haven't seen shit.
Yeah, well, in those movies, you know, there's the great pairing of, you know, Scorpion and Sub-Zero. Sometimes they're friends. Most of the time they're enemies. They're brothers, cousins. I don't know what they are. Will they make our top five pairings draft, Ty? I don't know. That's for us to answer. Let's get into the draft.
Let's answer it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Ty, I'm pretty sure that I've been giving you first overall pick like every time. I'm pretty sure.
I had third overall pick last week.
You did. You did. But I'll give you first overall
pick. No, I don't want it.
I usually think you thrive having the last, very last pick of the draft because that's where you save your funny pick.
Look, I'm going to be real honest with you here, Jay. Mm-hmm. This was a difficult one for me.
Yeah, I kind of struggled a little bit too, and it was kind of my idea.
It's just... It's tough thinking of great, great pairings.
Well, you can go chalk, run of the mill. You could say peanut butter and jelly. I mean, you wouldn't, but you could say peanut butter and jelly. You could say, you know, whatever, yin and yang. Like, you could say all these duos, or you can just Google best duos and say freaking, I don't know, Simon and Garfunkel. I don't know why that was the first.
What a wild thing to go to.
Is that a real duo, or is that just the name of a band? No, it's a duo, folk rock duo. You could do like that.
You said, is it this or this? And it was both.
Well, I thought, like, is it a name of a band, Simon and Garfunkel? But it was, like, actual two people. So it could be hard because we try to be creative and everything. But I think I have five creative answers here. I'm hoping you don't take any of them.
I'll be honest. I was struggling at one point. Peanut butter and jelly was on my board.
That's not a good sign for someone who notably hates peanut butter.
I can't stand it. But I was like, you know, if I'm going for the audience's vote here, people love peanut butter and jelly.
So I got to be strategic about this. I need to take what I think you might take early, and I got to be smart about it. But I have a one-of-one tie. When we're talking about the best pairs, there's no better pair in the entire world than Pocket Aces.
Oh.
Yes, Pocket Aces can get beat when you're playing Texas Hold'em. Obviously, they can get cracked. But when you're just looking pre-flop, odds, your whole cards, it literally... does not get better than Pocket Aces. It's the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme. Pocket Aces, you know, having that pair of aces in your hand right away, it's a huge advantage. You make a lot of money doing it. Last time I played poker with Brandon, 2 months ago now, well, not quite 2 months ago, but I had Pocket Aces against a guy who had Pocket Kings, got it all in preflop. He just kept raising. I kept raising on top of him. I said, I hope this guy has Kings, and he had Kings. And it's just an easy double up. Brandon said, congrats, Jay, before the hand rolled out, and I was so scared.
Just shitty thing to do.
Yeah, I was like, Brandon, don't fucking say that. What are you doing?
But we were okay. That's just the most fucked up thing you can do to somebody.
Yeah, we were good. And just Pocket Aces, they feel good, man. They feel good.
Yeah, that's a great pick.
Thank you, Ty.
Pocket Aces, best pair you can have in poker.
Mm-hmm.
For my first overall pick here, Jay. I have some non-people ones. I do have some non-people ones on here. But I'm going to start it off with a dynamic duo that... Look, man. It has brought me so much joy watching these two in movies.
Okay.
In any form of media. They have created some of our favorite movies together.
I think I know where you're going with
this. Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
Yep. Yep. I didn't put them on my board because I knew you'd pick them.
It's shake and bake.
Yep.
It's
Holmes and Watson.
It's God damn it, Jay. Don't bring that up right now.
Step Brothers.
It's Step Brothers. It's just
Catalina Mixer or whatever it was called.
Fucking Catalina Wine Mixer.
Yeah. Is that like their only two good movies together?
Yeah, I think so. They're fucking great.
I mean, they're in is John C. Reilly in Semi-Pro? No? Is he in The Campaign?
Let's see here.
Are those really the only two movies? He has a cameo in Anchorman 2, your favorite movie.
I mean, I feel like John C. Reilly has been in smaller roles with them. I think that's his, like, two co-leading roles that I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, three with Holmes and Watson, but let's check his IMDb here. That might be, like, the two big ones, obviously.
Yeah, I kind of think that's it, man. He does more, like, I think he tried, not maybe artsy, but more not comedy than Will does, for sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, they were fucking fantastic when they were doing it.
Yeah, and it'll never happen again.
Probably not.
This article has every Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly movie ranked. ScreenRant.com.
How many are there?
Five.
Okay.
Holmes and Watson.
Gross.
Coming in at number five. Number four, Tim and Eric's Billion Dollar Movie. I've never even seen that.
Great movie.
You've seen it?
No.
Okay. I think it... I don't. Is it a full movie? I don't know. Three, Anchorman 2. He's a cameo. Two, Step Brothers. One, Talladega Nights. How do you feel about Step Brothers being below Talladega Nights here?
Step Brothers... I think we've spoken about this. I've accepted that that's the better movie.
Talladega Nights is so good.
Talladega Nights notably has a... Oh, did we not actually do the Talladega Nights score?
No, we did. Because I gave it like a 20 on characters.
That's what I was thinking. I thought we fucking... Anchorman's on here. I don't see Talladega... Oh, Talladega Nights. 87.5 on our scale.
It's a great movie.
Best fucking movie.
It's good. I like your pick, Ty.
Thank you.
I'm going to go with a different movie-related pick. I'm going to go with a different pair who have brought both you and I a lot of joy, Ty. A lot of joy in a very specific film franchise. They've made what is still, if I'm not mistaken, the highest ranked movie on the Within the Lines Pat and Penny movie ranking scale. And that is the duo, the pair of Joseph and Anthony Russo, the Russo brothers.
Oh.
Directors of Infinity War, Captain America Civil War, Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Produced a lot of the Marvel stuff. I think the first Captain America the Winter Soldier, which I know you're a huge fan of.
Yep.
They've done some stuff afterwards. Hey, they helped produce Everything Everywhere All at Once. Bet you didn't know that. They helped produce. Nope. They directed The Gray Man, which you loved.
I did love that movie. That was a good movie.
Cherry. Gross. We had split opinion on.
Don't talk about that.
I like Cherry.
I forgot you liked that movie.
Yeah.
What a bad take.
Sorry, I was relating it to, you know, some personal people in my life who have undergone similar things as Tom Holland's character in that film, and it just really touched me personally.
That's a stupid way to watch movies.
We got a movie coming up. The Electric State, a Netflix movie, 2024.
Okay.
It's a science fiction action adventure film.
That's all I needed to hear.
Based on the graphic novel of the same name. Ensemble cast with Millie Bobby Brown, Chris Pratt, Ke-Huy Quan. He's popping up again. He's popping up in everything.
God damn it.
Stanley Tucci, Jason Alexander.
This movie's going to be incredible.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a graphic novel. I don't know what the novel's about. Depicting an alternate reality of the year 1997 in which a teenage girl and her toy robot journey through a technologically ravaged southwestern United States.
Okay.
Huh. I don't know.
No, that's a good pick. These two...
Thanks, sir.
They know how to make money at the box office, and they know how to make a big franchise successful.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to collaborate.
Yeah, for sure.
Team players.
I will say they weren't number two on my big board, but I had to play smart in case you had them on your board.
Let me tell you, I didn't have them on my big board. I was going to give away more information to you there. I'm going to play it smart. I'm going to keep my cards close to my chest like I had pocket aces.
Okay, I like it.
For my second pick, Jay, I'm going with one that, again, just is one of the greatest joys of my life. It really, really, any time of year for multiple reasons is something I enjoy partaking in, watching. That is the combination of a stick and a round object.
Okay.
Baseball.
Oh, okay.
You give me a stick and a ball. Hockey. I've been to a hockey game.
Not a ball.
Did I say ball or did I say round object?
I don't remember.
Can you repeat?
I have to rewind the tape.
I said round object.
Okay.
Specifically so I could actually mention hockey on this. Mm. You think of basketball. What's a rim if not a stick bent in a full circle?
Fair enough.
A stick and a round object.
You were playing NBA 2K the other day.
I was.
Are you good?
Dropped 35 in our first game.
Hey,
career mode.
Our Airbnb for the wedding. It's got a PS5 in it.
Does it?
Bring your remote if you want to
lose
in 2K. I don't know what kind of games they got, but...
I just play career mode on, like, a really easy difficulty because that game's fucking hard. But I'm down. Look, I think stick and round object.
Cricket.
Field goal post.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of a stretch, but...
Three sticks.
The down markers on a football, it's all you need for football.
Mm-hmm.
Stick and round object leads to every sport. Somehow, some way.
Maybe not every
sport. Give me
sport.
A sport. Golf.
MMA.
Sticking around object, spine and gloves.
Okay, sure, Ty.
Gloves are kind of round.
That's
octagon. Bunch of sticks. 8 of them, to be exact.
Golf's a good one.
Golf.
Especially because golf clubs' woods were literally wood. Literally were just built up sticks.
They were just sticks and round objects. And hitting them.
I don't know about your MMA.
Give me another sport where it doesn't apply.
Look
how much you're struggling here, because they all have something to do with a stick and a round object.
Track and field.
The javelin.
100-meter dash.
Javelin and the ball throwing.
What about 100-meter dash?
That's not a sport.
Oh. Swimming?
Not a sport.
Okay,
recreational activity that people compete for some reason, not a sport.
It's only a sport if you can
fit
it
into these parameters. I think it may actually be the criteria for sports.
Got it. Competitive gaming? Is that a sport?
If they're playing...
You got joystick?
Okay, yeah. I was going to say if they're playing sports, but...
All right. Sticking around.
Sticking around object, maybe.
My third overall pick, Ty. Got to stay true to my roots. WrestleMania coming up this weekend. There was a lot of options I could have picked for them from this one.
Yeah.
But you might think I'm going with a tag team. I'm not going with a tag team. I'm staying true to my guy. I'm going with... The five-knuckle shuffle and the attitude adjustment.
Ooh.
What pair is better than John Cena dropping his knuckles straight on your face and then picking you up and delivering you with an attitude adjustment, which used to be called the FU, and they changed it because they went PG.
Now that they're going un-PG, do you think we get it back?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think Cena could maybe reference it. I don't think they'll change the name, but...
I think you should.
They still call the submission the STFU.
Yeah, why not just...
Or no, I think they actually did change to the STF, which just made no sense. I don't know what that was supposed to mean. He doesn't really do that anymore. He obviously doesn't wrestle very much, but he might show up at WrestleMania this weekend just as a little cameo spot.
Be fantastic.
Might run in, help Cody Rhodes. I don't know. Who knows what could happen?
Yeah.
But if he is there, he might give a five-knuckle shuffle.
Maybe an attitude adjustment.
Five-knuckle shuffle? Better than people's elbow. I'll say it.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you're wrong.
I
think the people's elbow is one of the most electrifying things in all of sports entertainment.
I'm a John Cena guy, not a Rock guy.
You know I'm a John Cena guy, too. John Cena fucking lights up a crowd. The Rock lights up a crowd when he does that, though.
It's the best WWE finisher, tie off top of your head. Your favorite of all time.
Oh, man. People's elbow's up there. I like 619. 619 was always electric.
That's a good one.
That one's fantastic. I do think Stone Cold Stunner.
Yeah.
It just, he's done it so many times, and the crowd always loves it.
I think there's a 101, and that's because it could be pulled out anytime, anywhere, any place.
It's an RKO?
It's the RKO.
That's fantastic. That was next on my list to say.
Seth Rollins does the stomp that one WrestleMania. Randy Orton really throws him like 15 feet in the air and the RKOs him. You ever seen that clip?
No.
It's fucking sick.
Sounds sick. He throws him in the air and then RKOs
him? So his finishing
move
was a curb stomp, so Randy Orton was leaned over. I mean, Seth Rollins really just jumped, but he goes to do the curb stomp. Puts his head on his foot on his head and then jumps off Randy's back like 10 feet in the air. And as he's coming down, Randy catches him with the RKO.
That's fucking electric.
Pretty sick.
That's pretty sick. I will say, I don't know if it's the best. It's the most flexible.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I'm saying. The anticipation. Every other finisher, you kind of.
A setup.
Maybe like a spear. There might be a surprise spear going on.
Yeah. Spears aren't as fun, though.
But the RKO, you always got to be on your toes. I could get RKO'd right now.
You could. Someone could run in this room. Zero setup.
Five-knuckle shuffle and attitude adjustment, though, is my third overall pick.
That's a good pick, Jay. Look, for my next one, you're going to laugh at me.
Oh, God.
You're going to laugh at me.
I'm going to laugh at this one after you pick sticking a ball.
Yes. You're going to laugh at me. But this one, I think, is so underrated. And again, I was struggling with this draft, and I was thinking about this, and I was like, these are two objects that on their own are fucking useless. No one ever uses them. No one would care about these.
Mm-hmm.
But put together, every single person uses them daily.
Okay.
It's socks and shoes.
Oh, my God.
Shoes on their own.
You think shoes would be pointless without socks?
Shoes on their own? Terrible. You get all sweaty. They'd be disgusting. Your feet would get all tore up. Socks. Great. Keeps you, you know, warm. You can replace them. They don't have any protection from the floor. Socks and shoes go together. That's where the magic happens.
I'm wearing just socks right now, and I feel perfectly comfortable.
Yeah, but you're inside a house. What if you got to go to the market? You going to walk through a parking lot in socks?
Counterpoint, flip-flops.
What happens if it's December? You need socks and shoes. If you're in a snowy environment, it's supposed to snow this
Friday.
I can
tell you struggled on this one.
I've got some better ones. Third was my weakest pick. If it's supposed to snow this Friday, what would you do if you didn't have socks to go with shoes or shoes to go with socks?
I'd stay inside.
What if you were unavailable to go stay inside?
I don't know. Then
you would need socks and shoes.
Shit out of luck, Ty. It's not supposed to snow here. It's mostly just rain where we're at. But yeah, it's supposed to snow.
Even rain. You need
the Cajon Pass. It's not even supposed to rain that much. It's like only hitting the Cajon Pass. But we'll get probably some rain. But
okay.
Yeah, man.
I stand by it.
You're a funny guy. Socks and shoes.
I think all these other ones, like Will Ferrell, can make a good movie on his own. John C. Reilly can make a good movie on his own. Stick can be fun. Find a thing to do with just a stick. There's always something fun to do with just a round object. Socks and shoes, that's where the magic happens.
Oh, my God.
Jake, right. Give me your fourth pick.
My fourth pick is totally personal, and no one can relate to this. So I wanted to have one food one.
Okay.
What are you laughing at?
I'll just continue.
I wanted to have one food one, and I could have picked something like, sorry if I'm saying something you're going to say, but like chips and salsa came to my mind.
Okay.
Coffee and a donut, maybe. Yeah. Spaghetti and meatballs.
Have you ever actually had a coffee and donut?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Jen brings me some donuts sometimes. Not very often, actually, but once in a great while. Yeah. I'll dip it in my coffee. It's delicious.
It's fantastic. It's really good.
But this one is something I discovered as a youth. And I went back and tried it in my adult age. It still played. And I highly recommend everyone go out and try it. You're going to push back on this. First of all, how you feel about mint chip ice cream?
Hate it.
Okay, so this is a double hate, yeah. Double hate tree for Tyler Wooten. Mint chip ice cream with Reese's peanut butter cups. You go to Cold Stone. You get the mint chip ice cream. You get the Reese's peanut butter cups. They fold it in. They chop it up. It is the most delicious combination I have ever had in my life, and I highly recommend everyone go try it.
Yeah,
go to your local Cold Stone if you have one near you. I know it's expensive, inflation, but it's delicious.
Yeah,
mint chip Reese's peanut butter cups.
Never related less to one of your picks than this one.
Maybe if you try this, it'll open a new door for you, and you'll like it together.
It's not like eating two things you hate is going to make you like it. I'm just going to hate both of them combined at the same time.
I will say, you were a noted Butterfinger enjoyer, not realizing there was peanut butter in
it. It's different. It's not like a Reese's with peanut butter. It's like brittle. It's like peanut butter brittle. Brittle? Is that the word?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
I don't know either. It's terrible. They're disgusting.
Can you just try peanut butter? When's the last time you've tried it?
I was accidentally given a peanut butter cookie not too long ago.
Oh.
Spit it out. It was my mom. It was my mother who betrayed me. Knows I've hated peanut butter my whole life. No, I think she was just like, oh, I have cookies, and then I ate it, and then just like spit it out and stared at her. She was like, oh, shit, they're peanut butter. I was like, yeah, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Peanut butter vodka or whatever that is? Peanut butter whiskey?
God, that's so fucking nasty. And I like whiskey. Whiskey's good.
Peanut butter coffees from Solo Roasters? Delicious.
Gross. So gross.
You need to get on the peanut butter. I think
there's so many different options that could have gone with peanut butter. Peanut butter feels like a very, not for me personally, but like.
Versatile?
Like a lot of people do peanut butter with a lot of different things.
Including mint and chip ice cream.
Yeah. Again, most people would go like peanut butter and jelly, but you're going peanut butter and
chip. Try it, everyone. Try it. I'm serious. Try it. It's right. Delicious.
For my fourth pick, Jay. Look, man. I'm going back to people again here.
Okay.
Combination of people.
All right.
They are the powerhouse behind what I consider a perfect film.
Hmm. Okay.
They then go on to be in what I consider my favorite rom-com of all time. They've also been in...
I don't know your favorite rom-com of all time.
I think like a gangster movie or something. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but they're fantastic. And then here recently, we've got them making eye contact, being together at the Oscars? Oscars performance of I'm Just Ken. It's Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone.
Mm. So explain all your... A powerhouse of one of the best films is what you said? What was your first point?
One of the best films of all time.
Which was?
Ever made. La La Land.
Then what's the rom-com?
Duh. Rom-com is Crazy Stupid Love. Have you not seen this movie?
Well, that was first, because you said, I think you said first one of the greatest movies of all time, then a rom-com. You should have said the rom-com first, but.
Why?
Because didn't Crazy Stupid Love come out way before La La Land?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. I got my timeline fucked up. They're in, well, every time these two are together, magic happens.
It makes me mad every single time you ask me if I've seen Crazy Stupid Love, considering we watched it together for the first time in your living room. And you just don't remember that, and
it's
I do.
It's such a good fucking movie, though, Jay.
And I do. You were obviously too enthralled by the action on the screen.
It's such a good movie.
It was you, me, and I think it might have been your parents, too. It was in your parents' living room, on the couch, watched it together for the first time. That's the only time I've actually seen it.
Need to watch it again.
I'm sure I do. I remember it being good at the time.
It's fantastic. It's only got a 79% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's so criminally underrated.
I thought 50 First Dates was your favorite of all time for some reason.
It's my parents' favorite.
Yeah, your parents do love that movie.
But this one. All mostly for just one scene. One scene alone. But it's genuinely one of my favorite scenes in all of like movies.
When they all meet up at the end at the house or
it's,
whatever
it's
it is?
The best.
Is that what you're talking about?
It's like four storylines all organically coming together. It's just, it's peak writing in a dumb rom-com.
Yeah.
And it's incredible how underrated it is.
Everyone go watch Crazy Stupid Love.
And La La Land. Those two need to work together more.
I haven't seen La La Land.
They're fantastic.
My final pick.
Have you really not seen La La Land?
100%, swear to God. I don't know what it's about. The only thing I've seen is the bench scene where they like dance. Because that's the one they always show on the award shows.
It's not even like a top five scene.
Like, what are they? What's the movie about? Are they lovers?
Maybe.
My fifth overall pick is a rather simple one. Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani. 6-2 at the time of recording this. A combined $1 billion made. And just leading the best team in baseball, who will win a guarantee, Jason guarantee, 3 World Series in the next 5 years.
3 World Series in 5 years.
Take it to the bank.
What show Ohtani's hitting stats on the year?
Dude, we're 8 games in the year. Does it matter?
It was just a genuine question.
No, because you're going to downplay him. And let's not forget, Shohei Ohtani pitches too. Don't forget about that.
Not this year, he doesn't.
I saw some Dodger fans like debating about Yamamoto after like one start.
Shohei Ohtani, OPS plus 97, below league average.
I saw some Dodger fans already being stupid because it's baseball season and, you know, the sun rised, so of course they're going to be stupid. And Yamamoto had the one bad start in Korea, and people were like, this guy's really going to be our ace next year, and we're like debating it. Like, and the whole debate was like, he's good, he's not good, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, is everyone just forgetting about Shohei Ohtani? Like, our rotation next year, Ty? You want to hear it? Shohei Ohtani?
So we're going to start off with a guy who's basically had two Tommy Johns.
Hey, so is Tyler Glass now, and he looks electric this year.
Another guy with two Tommy Johns.
Yamamoto's great.
Pitched 12 innings of Major League
Bobby
ball.
Miller. You seen Bobby Miller?
No, but that's a cool name.
Bobby Miller, nasty.
Is he?
He's young. He's like a little Walker Buehler. This is his second year in the league. And then our fifth guy, I don't know. We'll figure it out. I probably should know. Walker Buehler's free agent, so it won't be him. But
okay.
Our rotation is going to be nasty.
Yeah.
Bobby Miller, FIP of 0.13 this season. But he's only made one start.
That's a really good start.
6 innings, 11 Ks. Pretty nasty.
That's a good name. Bobby Miller is a good baseball name.
I'll send you some Pitching Ninja clips. He's nasty.
Okay.
He developed a changeup this offseason. He worked on it.
I'll watch him.
Sheesh. Tyler Glass now, looking like a snack every time he's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Making my fiance wish she was getting married to him instead.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Just thinking about how he can drop a bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, Killian Murphy. It's just nice to have two, you know, former AL MVPs on the same team and just have the comfort of knowing that they will be playing for something in October. You know, it's just, I'm glad that they can do that together. And really, I could have said Freddie Freeman is one of these pairings because
you could have, you know, you could have gone Shohei and Yamamoto.
Three MVPs to lead off in a lineup. Kind of crazy when you really think about it. I'm just glad they'll have something to play for in October.
I think you're trying to do this to hurt me. And I think you need to just know by now you can't hurt me. Because my fifth and final pick is the Angels and finishing fourth place in the division.
Oh, okay. Not fifth, though.
Not fifth. I think we have the longest streak in MLB of not being last place in our division.
There's something to hang your hat on.
So, it's a ridiculous stat of being mediocre and never getting good draft picks or capital or tanking to build the franchise, but never being good enough to be first either.
You know, Artie probably has a plaque up for that.
Yeah, probably. I think 6 out of the last 8 years we finished fourth in the division.
I can tell you right now.
Not including this year.
Last year, fourth.
Yeah.
Year before that, third.
Yep.
Year before that, fourth.
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 Yep.
Year before that, 2017, second.
Oh.
Year before that, fourth.
Yep. There it is.
So, yeah, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fourth place finishes in the last 8 years.
That's what I just said. Yeah, I nailed that.
Good job, Ty.
Thank you.
Yeah, haven't finished in last in the division since 1999, when there was only 4 teams.
Haven't finished last in this division.
They've only finished last in the division once in your lifetime.
Yeah. And again, 4 teams. Could have probably still been fourth if there was a fifth.
Yeah. Good for you guys. I'm proud, Ty.
That's what we do. We just fucking stay mediocre.
That's good, though. That's, you know.
You can't hurt me. One thing I will point out, Taylor Ward, 209 OPS plus on the year.
Oh, my God. Here we go. 4-2. Is there any optimism after 4-2 start?
No. No, we're a bad team. We're a really bad team. We slept the fucking Marlins. What?
It's always about, if you go back to my Twitter history, it's always about like May 3rd is when Angel fans peak. And like everyone's like, damn, Angels this year. And then it's downhill always. So I wouldn't be surprised if you guys actually defy expectations. And the moment you buy in a little bit, Ty, will be the moment it comes crashing down.
I think if by some miracle we're good this year, I'm keeping this attitude all the way through the divisional round of the playoffs.
Mm. Imposters, we shouldn't be here.
Yeah, we're fake.
All right, I like it.
Everyone's overperforming. We're not that good of a team. Any second now, it's going to come down.
We'll see if you stay true to this.
Maybe. I don't know. All I'm really hoping for is Mike Trout to stay healthy and Taylor Ward to be good again, because people forget. Better than Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani last year to start the season. People forget.
Oh, my God. Anthony Rendon's 0-for-19.
Yeah, dude, and he's our fucking leadoff hitter.
He's so bad.
It's disgusting. He's got no legs. He's got no legs. My take was always a joke, and you've made me buy into it seriously. I've never believed it once.
I think you did.
I never did.
I think you did. It's okay if you did. 0 point.
People, there's actually at the Angels opening day tomorrow, fans have gathered together to do an ironic standing ovation for Anthony Rendon.
Oh, they're doing the Trey Turner from last year.
Yeah.
The guy who said he pretty much hates baseball and he doesn't know why he's playing anymore.
Yep.
That's great.
Yeah. It's going around Angels Twitter right now. Giving him a standing ovation for all that he does for the team.
Yeah, tickets will be cheap. I showed you the screenshot.
Yes, they will.
Like, dude, if you look at the Angels on SeatGeek, like, I think 85% of the games start at $1.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
We were talking about, like, me and my coworkers, because I want to, for the listeners, I want to raffle to 4 Dodger tickets, like, right behind home plate. Really nice tickets. You know how many fucking Angels tickets I could buy if I sold those and just got mediocre Angels tickets?
You can get season tickets.
And so I'm like, I could get, like, at least a 10-game bundle.
Oh, easily. Easily.
Yeah.
You can sell them, Ty. I know you already invited us, but if you
want
to turn a profit.
I want to go.
Oh, you want to go to Dodger Stadium?
I mostly just want to sit right behind home plate at an MLB game and root for the fucking Rockies.
That'd be like rooting for the Angels.
Yeah, it's so different.
You know what's bad when you guys host the Rays next week and it's from $1, and then you go to Tampa Bay the following week and the Rays tickets are more expensive?
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's really bad. This was fun, Jay. This was a fun draft.
Yeah, last thing, is AI coming for our jobs? I asked AI, come up with 5 creative ways to defeat Godzilla that haven't already been done.
Mm.
So it created up with 5 creative ways to defeat Godzilla that haven't been depicted in mainstream media.
Okay. Send them to space. Space related.
Number 1, psychic imprisonment. And you're gonna grade these
judges. Judging? Okay. Thank God, because I had no idea.
Psychic imprisonment. develop a technology or method that allows psychics or individuals with psychic abilities to temporarily imprison Godzilla within a mental construct. By harnessing the power of the mind, Godzilla could be contained within an illusionary world or mental prison, rendering him harmless to the physical world.
I love that. You just got to have Dr. Strange. It's so simple. You have to have Dr. Strange. You got to mind fuck him. You do have to mind fuck him. Chris Angel? Is he available these days?
Well, speaking of Dr. Strange, number two, what would you think of psychic imprisonment?
I think it would work. I think getting there is a real, real barrier of entry.
Number two, a temporal loop. Create a device capable of trapping Godzilla in a temporal loop, causing him to repeatedly experience the same moment in time. By trapping Godzilla in an endless time loop, he would be effectively neutralized, unable to cause further destruction or harm.
Yeah, yeah. Again, huge barrier of entry. I would argue a larger barrier of entry than the last one.
Yeah.
ChatGPT fucking loves Doctor Strange, though.
I'll skip ahead to number four, quantum entanglement.
Okay.
Utilize quantum entanglement to link Godzilla with a counterpart in another dimension or parallel universe. By entangling Godzilla's existence with another version of himself in a different reality, any harm inflicted upon one version would be mirrored in the other, effectively doubling the damage dealt to Godzilla and hastening his defeat.
I think you need more than double.
Yeah, probably.
I think you need more than double. I don't think that's a good idea. And also, we're now at the Marvels.
Yeah.
They're just doing Marvel properties. Is option number four use an infinity gauntlet?
Well, that was number four. Number three, energy absorption.
Oh.
Develop a technology that allows the absorption of Godzilla's atomic energy, effectively draining him of his power source. By siphoning off his energy, Godzilla could be weakened to the point of defeat, rendering him vulnerable to conventional means of capture or containment.
So soul suck. You need to suck Godzilla's soul.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that'll work for one. I think he'll just power up and turn a different color like he did in this movie.
Yeah, it seems to happen a lot.
Yeah.
Number five, harmonic resonance. Engineer a device capable of emitting specific harmonic frequencies that disrupt Godzilla's atomic structure.
Oh.
By exploiting the resonance frequencies of Godzilla's atomic composition, it would be possible to destabilize his molecular integrity, causing him to collapse or disintegrate from within.
I don't hate that idea, but it does sound like you're going to have to be real careful with that because you will just kill the entire city, and then what's the point of stopping Godzilla?
The whole world. Yeah. What if you're just
deconstructing like, oops, I fucked up. The planet blew up.
The planet just dissolved.
It's like, again, it's like Oppenheimer. Just light up the whole atmosphere. Kill everyone.
Yeah.
But, you know, we fucking got him, boys.
What do you think of these ways? Are any of these better than the Godzilla minus one strategy of trying to kill him with the pressure and all that of the ocean?
I think some of these are better. Harder to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
That one was a great idea. It just didn't work. People forget. Didn't work.
True.
They still had to crash a plane into him.
Can you? And he was still kind of alive at the end.
Very much alive, yeah.
Can you think of a way to kill Godzilla?
Oh, man.
Is AI coming for our jobs? Because I can't. He's like unbeatable.
Food poisoning?
Okay.
They always try and attack the outside. Got to hit the inside.
Send in some sleeper cells, SEAL Team 6,
yeah.
In like a food capsule.
Yeah.
What would they do once they're in there?
I don't know. I assume he's softer on the inside than the outside. Maybe not in that. Just figure out what he's allergic to. Have we tried shellfish?
Good point.
Peanuts?
I think you would have to strap him to some sort of rocket and just send him into space.
That's what I'm saying. People will forget about space. You just get him out of the atmosphere. That's fine.
He's gone. He's drifting forever.
Godzilla minus one tried putting him like closer to the center of the Earth. We need to get him farther away from the center of the Earth.
I don't know how you'd strap him in and like send him to the atmosphere without him destroying the spaceship first.
It's a real problem.
But if you can get him in space, you're good.
That's it. Problem solved.
Yeah. And then he goes on another planet, and that's when we get Godzilla versus Kong intergalactic warfare.
Yeah.
So.
That might happen soon enough.
It was a fun pod tie. Next week... I believe we're taking a week off, right?
Yeah, we are.
Why is that?
Somebody's getting married here, Jay, and it's not me.
No, you're already married.
Yeah, I am.
It's going on 3 years, which is crazy.
Yeah?
2021?
Two, three, four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew that.
Going on 3 years.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, not this weekend, but next weekend. But next week's going to be crazy leading up to the weddings, and we will both not be home, so we will not have time to record the podcast next week.
We're going to be having a good time, though.
So, taking a week off. This is my last podcast as a single man.
Yeah. You're going to be taken after this. So,
Unless I leave at the altar.
It's true. Leave me in a weird spot. Officiating the wedding.
So I'm excited. Next pod, maybe any potential wedding stories, and we'll also review. Do you know what we're reviewing post-wedding?
We've got two options. Mm-hmm. It's either Monkey Man or Civil War.
Civil War. Gotta be Civil War.
Go watch both of them, and we'll decide. We'll see what the people talking about.
I like that tie.
We'll figure it out. In the meantime, be a good friend, everybody.
Fall in love with low prices, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on delicious 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.